Actually, this shmooze was prompted by Hector Mikhailovich. Let's make it. What do I mean? Remember, Mikhailovich was in the hospital that Sunday morning. The Sunday was the operation was Shabbos, so I went Sunday morning to see him. As I'm walking in through the door, if you're in Waterbury Hospital, you'll see is a TV screen. Okay, you know, some of us grow up with TVs. So take a look, Connecticut Channel 8 News. What's ready? Tutsuk in Connecticut Channel 8 News. Nothing too, nothing too exciting. Channel 8 News. So get a glimpse, and I see that they're reporting on the TV. I see a basketball player running toward the stand, toward the audience, mamish hitting somebody, mamish like malaise. I'm looking at this, what's going on? Mamish running. This is what they're showing on the TV. On the TV, mamish running towards him. He's hitting him. He's hitting him. Standing. The fans are hitting back. My God, Satan, I didn't know what was going on before. Then obviously some type of brawl broke out in the game. This was the this is when I went to see him. It's a funny thing. Mamish a brawl. Mamish a complete mayhem that broke out there. Okay. Then. I'm going for the last week. I'm going to Lake Regatta's Hanukkah. So we made a pit stop in Montvale. It's a good day. Anyone goes to Lake Regatta, it's a very good halfway point. It's on exit 175 on the Garden State Parkway, coming from here. It's like basically the end of the parkway before you come into Route 87. Okay, so we're going there. Walking around. Oh, of course, the TV is right there. And Mamush, the same thing. It was like CNN. What are they reporting? The caption of the headline is "Society in Decline." Society in decline, and Nachum want the same thing. The only problem is my kids were there, so they're seeing this too. So Yehuda and Moshe are looking up. They're looking up there. I said, I told my wife, I said, we got to walk away from this. Can't look at this. And they're reporting it again. This whole brawl that broke out. Yeah, some of them knows. I see that everyone realizes what's happening over here. Yeah, a whole brawl that broke out. So my kid did. What's going on? And what's happening? So we told him now. There was a game, and the fight started. So my Yehuda came up with a very good answer. He said nobody should win. Both the teams didn't have good meat, though, so nobody should win. He had more brains than anybody else. Both of them didn't have good meat, so nobody should win. So later on, I found out what was the game. I mean, everyone knows, but for those who don't know, what happened? Apparently what happened was that there was, at the end of the game, somebody, there was apparently a question about a questionable call on the court, and one of the fans threw, this was the big infraction started, he threw water at the player, one of the Pacers. It was a game between the Pistons, and it was in Detroit, between the Pistons and the Pacers, right? He threw water. This was the Gansan Mice that happened. I don't know if I was sweating if someone threw water at me. I got a shower. Mishkefel, what? I was hot anyway, so he threw water at me. Yeah, oh, thank you. we have more meatballs, right? He threw water at me. This fellow got very upset. He charged toward him in the stand. But not only him, apparently four of these, they now have, I mean, this videotape was supposedly shown in Detroit over and over and over again. I think they sent on CNN that children were mamish paralyzed from this. I mean, they had little kids by the game, mamish paralyzed. People were sitting and watching what was happening. It felt. I mean, imagine a little kid, 10 years old, seeing what's happening. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So they got four players who were going to be, supposedly they're going to be charged. It's still going on. This is happening the moment it came out of the month, 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. They're going to be charged for arrest. They're put under arrest. For whatever. Yeah, like assault, whatever they call it, assault. Yeah. And they're trying to find the fan who threw a chair back. I got some nice numbers like this. Society in decline. That was the caption, it's in society in decline. So if you examine what happened over here, and I think it is it is noteworthy to examine what happened, because if society is looking, I think it's something that we should take a look at a little bit. It's really, if you think about it, it's really not too surprising at all that this happened. It's really not too surprising. Maybe our society is shocked, but if we'll examine a little bit further, I don't think it's too shocking. Because if you look at the society we live with a very little concept of self-control. The kemat doesn't exist. There's no self-control, right? I get angry with someone. I mean, you go to a psychologist and they even tell us to. You have to express it. Not everybody, but some may say that. You get angry, you have to express it. You have to express it. Show your feelings. You're angry, you have to express it. The word, the concept has been, so to say, removed from our lexicon, removed from our vocabulary. It doesn't exist anymore. And bichlal, you're talking about someone, let's examine who we're talking about, right? We're talking about superstars, right? That, what's the big yichus? We're talking about people, the big yichus is, take a ball and shoot into a net. So the ganze yichus, right? They never had to work. This has been practiced mamash since they're age 4. 10 hours a day straight. How can I shoot better a ball into a net? So the guy, that's your whole life. It's the ganze life. They never had to work at thinking in anything in their life, because if they pass through college, even if they're in a good college, right? They have somebody pass through them. They passed. I mean, they always had tutors helping them. Because I can't, if your best player loses, then what kind of basketball team do you have? It's possible for West Virginia not to have a good basketball team. This is academics. No, Come on. So we'll get them tutors to pass, and we'll get a 65. It can't speak English. We'll talk about that later. All right. So he has tutors helping him through. So he had never had to think about anything in his life. I mean, character developed Manda Hashemay, what, he had to ever work on anything in his life? He's the biggest bald guy around, because if he's wearing Nike sneakers, then, I mean, everyone else is doing it. So I'm causing everyone who is, you know, everyone in American, or everyone who respects me, to be wearing Nike sneakers, because that's what I'm wearing. So a bigger bald guy you're not going to find. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a biggest bald guy who knows absolutely zero, can hardly talk a word of English. He's getting paid millions of dollars a year. Yeah, millions a year to do this. And he's the hero of our society? Something's wrong. Something doesn't connect. He's the people we look up to. Never had to work a day in his life for anything. Okay, he practiced for 10 hours a day basketball, but anything mental, it required any mental activity. He didn't have to put anything into. And he's the hero of our society? This is who we look up to? Let's simulate an interview, right? Imagine it. Bob, whatever. Yeah? What do you think of this world today? Terrible thing. Can I? But you were involved in it. Talk to my lawyer. Not interested. If you'd have to have a conversation with him, you maybe have a 5-word conversation. That's about it, because that's all he could say. And this is who we're looking up to. There's a problem. Mashal over said. So it's not very surprising that, you know, people who haven't done anything with their life would act like this. You're talking about a man, someone who's not trained at all in anything, in any type of self-control. Now, don't get me wrong, there are people who play professional sports who are smart. I want to throw out an interesting trivia question. Can anyone, and I don't want to answer now, can anyone tell me someone who attended Stanford University played in the Super Bowl? See anyone's football history. I want to hear the answer later. It was a professional sports buff. I wanted to like to hear the answer later. Good. See if anyone knows the. I complain. There's a lot of smart people around. I don't want to say that it's not. But the Ruba, it's crazy. It's not. So Lamaisa, we live in a society that the word self-control doesn't really exist. But Lamaisa, we look. That's in society at large. But the problem is when we start looking at ourselves. That's where it starts to hurt a little bit. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how much self-control do we have? How much do we have? Yeah. What happens when we get angry? Do we start to hurl insults back at immediately at somebody else? Back at the other party? What do we do? Right. We start calling them names. What do we do? Chaos is a very bad thing. It's a terrible leader. Now, Chazal say, it's a Gemara in the Dorim. Gemara in the Dorim says, "Call a koyeh is kol minigenim shaltim boy." whoever gets angry, all types of Gehenim rule over him. Very strong lashon. Kol mina Gehenim shalkim. What's pshat that? What's pshat that Chazal? Why do all types? What do you mean? Kol mina Gehenim, all types of Gehenim shalkim. But Chavetz Chaim says a mor digizach. It actually discusses this in Shmir Saloshin. There are different parts of Shmir Saloshin. So one of them is Shah Tuna. Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel Shah Tuna. Zokte pshat like this. It's more in the dorm. He says that every chet a person does, there's a specific einish for it in Gehenna. We think Gehenna is one big fire, you know, it's all equal, it's just a question of degrees, hotter or lower. But he says, and he says not like that, he says there's a specific einish for every particular aveira. An einish miyuchet for that aveira. Zogta Chofetz Chaim, by a person who gets bekas, a person can come to do all types of aveiras. He says, a person who generally gets angry, he could come to all types of avinus. Until Chazal say that someone who's kayis, you can guarantee biyadua. It's known about, you can say about such a person that he has more avinus than mitzvahs. Avinus than merubah mitzvahs. If a person gets angry, you can assume that he has more avinus than mitzvahs. So Zokta Chofetz Chaim, if you're talking about a person who gets angry, so he has all the types of Gehenim, because you have to assume he's violating all the Averis. If we're saying a person who's Kayis, you can assume that he has more Averis than Mitzvahs, that means he's violating all types of, he's doing all types of Averis. So he's, consequently, he'll be subjected to all types of Gehenim, because every Averis has his own type of Gehenim. It's Kol Mina Gehenim. He was, you have to assume he violated all kinds of Averis. So consequently, he'll have to be subject to all kinds of Gehenim. Where did Gizach? Come in and go and shout them, but you have to see it as biyadua. A person who says biyadua should have a nice move from Mishri Yosef. You can assume that he's subject by all kinds of affairs because he has no control over himself. The moment you get angry, you lose yourself. You lose yourself. Now, I say you lose yourself, we'll see more. It's Taka Mamish losing yourself. And this is a powerful Gizach. I saw the Zohar, actually, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Zohar here. In one called in Tisha Tfuna, and he is a savior called, anyone who wants to work on the Mid of Kass, there's a savior called Erech HaPayim, written 130 years ago approximately. Very nice. I didn't go through it, but this particular I saw it. I started looking about the Inyan. He brings this Zohar also. He brings a little bit more about Riches, the savior Erech HaPayim, than the Chofetz Chaim does. It's a half of the Zohar. The Mice, I learned this Zohar with Madonna, excuse me, or with Esther. That's coming with Kobe. Lamaise is a Gevaldik, it's a terrible Chil Hashem. It's an awful, what I just said is Lamaise is an awful Chil Hashem. Not what I said, but what happened there. I mean, everyone understands Pashat, it has absolutely no Shaykhist, any Dorish or Kedusha. To take something so Kaddish and to lower it to such an extent, it's a terrible, terrible thing. Shteitin Zara Kaddish. Says the Zara. Says that what should you do? The Zohar wants to know what kind of people should you get close to, and what kind of person should you stay away from? And eight, you want to know who should be your friends? Who should be your friends? Who should not be your friends? Shteit in Zohar, chinul lachem in ha'odom. It's a pasuk. It's on a pasuk. Chinul lachem in ha'odom asher neshama ba'akov. Stay away from a person that his neshama is ba'akov. That's the boss. Stay with a person. So the Zohar says, you want to know who to stay away from? He says, you should tell, the way you should know it is through a person's kas. Baruch zeh mamash. You should tell by a person how angry does he get? I should say it this way. How does he act when he's angry? Says the Zohar, Iyahu nishmosa kadish. It's kedai to read the Lashon in Sardis. It's important. If he watches his neshama kedoshah when he gets angry, if he protects his neshama, not his lashon protect. Watch. If you protect your neshama when you get angry, that it shouldn't be removed from you when you get angry, then it's a person you should. Then you banash the kodesh. He's a good person. You should get close to him. But if it's a person does not watch their neshama when they get angry, what happens is, he uproots his neshama kedoshah from him, lemishri ba'asrei sitra achra, and in place of it, the sitra achra, the yitzhar goes inside of him. You hear what the Zohar just told us? The Zohar says when a person gets angry, you uproot your neshama from you, and instead the sitra, the yitzhar goes inside of you. That's what it says. It says that's a person you have to stay away from. He rebelled against his creator. It's also to come close to him to be lechaber. You can't be connected to him. But state in Zohar a hafla dekechidish. That when a person gets angry, if he doesn't watch his car, if he's not careful with his cars when he gets angry, and he expresses it improperly, then you take away, you're uprooting your neshama kedoshah, and instead you're putting in the yitzhar inside you. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Chidul lachem in adam asher neshama ba'apay. A person who removed his neshama, that's asher neshama ba'apay. Because of his anger, he removed his neshama from him. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Asher neshama ba'apay. De'a nishmosa kadisha tarifla. You grabbed away, you took away your neshama because of your anger. Begin apay asher neshama achle ba'apay. Because of your anger, you took away the neshama from you. It's a pelvic thing. You remove your neshama when you get angry, and instead of it, you have your yitzhar comes inside of you. So you might think, now this part the Chofetz Chaim doesn't go, but the Zohar goes right. He says you might think this is only when you get angry. So at the moment you get angry, you take away your neshama, and then when you finish getting angry, your neshama will come back. Very nice. Shteitin Zohar, no. The itema, hal v'shaita hama the ober v'hoder ader. You might think for the moment it will pass and then it's going to come back automatically. When you're angry, it will pass and then it will come back. Shteitin Zohar lav hachi. It's not this case. The cave in the akir kedusha the nafshim asrei. Once you take away your neshama from you, it's not going to leave you. It doesn't leave you unless is the key by nashmi kol. Unless you mitar yourself completely, you completely purify yourself. Only if you go and you try your mishtado to bring kedusha on yourself, then maybe it will come back. Maybe then your neshama kedusha will come back. So there's a second part of the chiddush of desire. It's not just when you get angry it goes away. It's not coming back unless your mamash, you work hard to be mamash kedusha on yourself. And then maybe we'll come back. So we learned a few lessons. We're not finished yet with this, but till now, let's just recap what we have from the Zohar. That number one, that a person that you uproot your neshama from you when and you put inside yourself an avodah zarah. You put inside at least a kel zarah. You put inside yourself mamish. He's like avodah zarah. And the lashon of the Zohar is like you're mechubar avodah zarah mamish. This lachar is pshat in the Chazal. It could be people have heard before that kol arpoy is kiloy ben avodah zarah. He says you're an avodah zarah mamish. You're putting inside yourself a kel zarah. It's not like you're doing. You're an avodah zarah. You put inside. What's avodah zarah? Avodah zarah is that there's another power that's grieving you away from avodah Hashem. That's what you put inside yourself. You made yourself an avodah zarah. When you get angry and you put inside yourself that kel zarah. That foreign power, that sitra achra that brings on you a ruach hatumah, that schleps you away from avodah Hashem, that's avodah zarah. What else is it? That's you made yourself an avodah zarah. Yeah. So that's mamash kila. It's a whole different head to understand this cube kila of avodah zarah. You mamash made yourself an avodah zarah. And this is the kind of person Satan says, yeah, chidul lachem in adam. You want to know who should be your friends and who shouldn't be your friends. Chidul lachem, from this person you got to stay away from. Because this person lost his neshama kedosha. A person who took away his neshama from himself, you can't have any shaykhs to him. What kind of ashpah is he going to have on you? Other avayrus, it sounds like it's again, if this is another chiddush of desire, other avayrus is not the same way. Begin to bekal, and then desire speaks out mafurish. To bekal the chatam the ka'avid barnash, other chatam, the desire speaks out also explicitly. Other chatam that you do, love you have a desire mamish kahai. You're not to have a desire like this. This is worse. This is worse. You mamish make yourself have a desire. And this is the person you're not allowed to get close to. And the Zohar also says, the more beautiful, is a beautiful remez. He said, this is what the Pshat in the Pasuk says, Elokei Masecha Leisasa Loch. You shouldn't make yourself gods of Avodah, God of a molten image, right, to serve Avodah Zohar. Says the Zohar, the other Pshat is, Elokei Leisasa Loch, you shouldn't make yourself an Avodah Zohar. Leisasa Loch, you shouldn't make yourself. Don't make yourself an Avodah Zarah. You're making yourself an Avodah Zarah. And the Baruch HaPam, this is the clicker. The Baruch HaPam brings a beautiful remez. He says, Elokei Masecha B'Gematria is He Hakas. So he says, I can make this up. But he says, Elokei Masecha B'Gematria is Hu Hakas, He Hakas. That's what it says. He says, you see, there's a lot of deraisa for getting angry. So you don't know, everyone's like, we've the law for midas in the Torah. In Zohar Shtet, Elokei Masecha L'Sasa Lof, that's the law. That's a law to make yourself an Avodah Zarah. And he brings this, the lessons you learn from this Zohar. Sheish Isu Loisa Say, there's an Isu to make yourself an Avodah Zarah. Elokei Masecha L'Sasa Lof, you can't make yourself an Avodah Zarah. This is a Peldig Chiddush, this Zohar. And that the Zohar should, there's a few aspects of Kiddush, that it doesn't come back until you bring yourself a lot of Kiddush on yourself. And he says, he points out also, it doesn't come back unless Chazer B'Tatz Mikol V'Kol, unless you mamish purify yourself. It's not coming back automatically. It's not just B'Shosh HaKadosh. And once read it, there's one other Kiddush in the Zohar says, he says, it's also to look at the person when he's angry. You're not allowed to look. If you see someone get angry, walk away. You're not allowed to. It's a lav. And it seems he learns that from the pasuk. Al tifnu el alilim. Don't turn to Avodah Zarah. You're looking at a person who's getting angry. You're looking at Avodah Zarah. Turn away. You're not allowed to look at him. Who says we don't learn Kabbalah in this issue? Al tifnu el alilim. Says Zayah. Al tifnu el alilim. Kegavne do also stakel b'anpoi. You're not allowed to look at him. Yeah, Shad Durug, you're not allowed to look at it. You gotta be very careful. It's not like we cast is a very serious thing. It's a temper, you get angry once in a while. No. We'll talk about it more, what to do maybe, but you're taking your desires and you're taking away your neshama, and it's not coming back unless you mitar yourself and call the call. Does your mamash mitar yourself? And this is the determining chidul chemin adam. You want to know who you should be close to, who's your friends. You want to pick your friends wisely. Who should they be? Not a person gets angry. That's out of the question. That's what the Zohar is. That's what the Shaykh Zohar. Chidul chemin adam Hashem Shama Bapa. And just to end off the pasuk, ki bama nechshavu. The way the Zohar reads is ki bama nechshavu. He's an avod. That's bama. Bama loshem mizbeach. That's what the Zohar says. Ki bama nechshavu. Avaydizar is chash bama loshem bama. That's what the Aruch HaPaim reads it. Bama is mamash avaydizar. Ki bama nechshav is mamash avaydizar. Yeah. So lemaisa, if we would leave it here, so you could say, we have this very nice quiz about kaz, very nice, maybe a possible shot. Let's say, why get angry? Good. But you could say, this really doesn't apply too much to me. Which is, Baruch Hashem, most people around the world don't get that angry, right? It's not. Lemaisa, most of us can control anger. There are times we get angry, but you'd say, certain people are b'teva, not such chasana, don't get so angry. But Lemaisa, I want to give maybe a little bit of a different twist on anger, which maybe will give a little bit of a different shot. It may apply to ourselves a little more. Which is that there are more subtle forms of anger. The Muslim, you could speak to Hashi about this more, a local MS tell you. But there are more subtle forms of anger. Which is, when you get upset at somebody, somebody made a comment to you. You may not start flaring up, so to say, and start hurling back, and screaming, hurling back insults. But many times we may make snide comments, like off the cuff comments. And it can be done very passively too. But an off the side comment, because you're upset at somebody, because they said something to you. And that comment may not even be related to what he told you. He said something to you about subject A, and you know he has a weakness in subject B, so you're going to get him back in subject B. And again, it may not be in a way that, you know, that where you're screaming or you lost yourself, but could be very on the side, like a dagger, very like the side, you know, just a kid hidden in over there. That's also right. That's also chaos. Yeah, you're right. We may not have flared up. It may not have started to scream like crazy. But lamaisa, that's fast. It's also chaos. Now, it's very natural. It's very normal. Don't get me wrong. It's very normal. You know. But the question is, you know, how are we going to, you know, we may not scream, but how do we deal with tension and pressure? When an incident occurs that's not to our liking, how do we react to it? What's our reaction? And that's where it may apply more to us. Because a lot of times we may react in ways that are really, very subtly we're showing anger, but which can be very damaging. And that would also made me speak about this, besides what happened there, which is, well, we'll get back to in the end, that whole beginning event. But when I went to Rabbi Kalish a second time, he told me something which was very frightening, which was upsetting, which is that, I don't know how we got into it, he told me something from Rabbi Elephant, which was very upsetting. Rabbi Elephant told Rabbi Kalish that in a certain community, that doesn't make a difference which community, but he said that over 50% of the homes in that Jewish area, there is discord and disharmony, a lack of shalom bayis, proper shalom bayis in the home. Now that's a very scary statistic. That means we can, if you were living in that neighborhood, one out of two, it's a very high percentage, one of every two people here in this room will not have a proper marriage. That's scary. That's very scary. That's very high. You live with a person for a long time. Something's not happening right. Something's not going right. One out of two? That's very high. Where are we going wrong? Where are we going wrong? And this really requires a greater shmuz. I mean, speak to Rav Kastner, he spoke on Shalom Bayis. Right? But it's a very high statistic. And I mean, the Baruch Hashem is telling us something. If one out of two is, we have to do something about it. Yeah, how are we going to make sure that when we get married, this doesn't happen to us? How are we going to do it? So one of the things is that there are certain times, you know, in a marriage, it's inevitable. You live with someone, you know, 24/7. And someone says, you know, your spouse says something to you that, you know, a remark that you don't like. How are you going to react to it? And a lot of times what happens is you answer back. Well, again, as I say, it doesn't have to be screaming. But you answer back with a snide comment and it starts to cascade. It grows bigger. You said this to me. And your wife is going to bring it up a year later. Oh, you remember when you said that to me? And then 5 years later, oh, 5 years ago you said this, and you did this to me. It becomes a snowball effect. And sometimes then it's too late. But that's what happens. It's love dafka, big things that make, you know, that cause problems. But the combination of small events, of small comments here and there, or the way you reacted to a situation which wasn't proper, you know, that eventually lead to a lot of discord. Another example. You know, people have different levels of cleanliness in the house. Some people are very meticulous about it, and other people are not. They don't care if the toys are out are out to be seen. Some people are mocked, some are not mocked. How are you going to react to it? You know, it has to be worked out. I'm not saying the two parties don't have to discuss it and come to a mutual understanding. But the question was, it's not to your liking, how are you going to react to it? You like another example. And again, some one person's more on time, one person is, but to have them more late, they're not so timely. You may want to say, if someone's angry, let's say the husband's angry, the wife is late, yeah? So say, oh, it's not today to go to the chasam. It's late, it's not today. And part of what may be driving him is a way to get back, is because he's angry his wife is late, and it's a way to get back, it's not worth to go anymore. It's a way of getting back at her. Really, it is kedai to go. But you want to get back at her because you want to a certain extent, psychologically punish her because you were late. It had, that may maybe that might be, again, sometimes it may not be Kedai, but there could be a goodly number of times where those thought process may be going on in your head. That's also Kas. That is Kas. And you could say it very nicely, that's not where the goal is. And what's really bothering you that you're angry because she did something to you. That's the kind of, and that we have to be very careful about. The more subtle forms of anger, we get upset at things, and it's not childlike. And when we do things or say things that are very offhanded or, you know, snide, which can cause a lot of problems later. There's another Eitzah, which is related to this Eitzah, but just in a different vein. Nigeres Ramban. The Nigeres Ramban starts off, Yizar Tomer Ledaber Kol V'Rarecha B'Nahas B'Chol Odom U'V'Chol Eis. Right? A person should be careful to speak his words benachas, pleasantly. Those are the keys. Everybody, all the time. And that's how you'll be safe from gas. Which is shehim midara alachta bin adam, which is very bad. Which makes a person do chatzon. Those are the keys. L'chol adam, no exceptions. L'chol adam, this is not lav dafka. It's dafka. B'chol adam u'b'chol eis. Every person, all the time. Don't, b'nachas. Pleasantly, quietly. This is more, again, a little bit more related to the first part of Kas we spoke about, in terms of raising your voice. But l'daber kol d'varecha b'nachas. If you're going to say something, it shouldn't be with pressure. B'nachas. B'chol adam u'b'chol eis. All times, all situations. It's a training, but it can be done. It can be done. And what we're saying now is it has to be done. It really has to, because otherwise we're really in danger of falling to that 50%. I'm not saying this is the only issue. And I mentioned to Rabbi Wade when he's in marriage counseling, so I mentioned in this statistic. He told me he's even more. Never mentioned that. He told us even more than that. One of the factors, again, this is Kedai to mention, he said that he feels the financial pressure is a major factor in that, which is really requires, it's not our shmooze, it requires a different shmooze. But this is an issue we have to address before we think about getting married. And it can't work in it when you start going out. The tikkanamidus has to start now. When you're living with each other in a dorm or in any situation, it's got to start now. Because otherwise there's no guarantee you'll be successful later. And we'll end with a story. It's a scary story. But there was a maisa of a couple who had 8 children. And they were expecting a nice child, and they were the man was more of a meticulous kind of person. He was more careful about, you know, he wanted things to be masudar and to be clean, and the woman wasn't like that. She didn't have that kind of personality, and he used to get upset about certain things that weren't going the way he wanted in his house. He felt it wasn't proper, so she used to say to him, "Zalo chashuv, it's not important." It's not important. And this was her way of diffusing the tension. Diffusing the tension that was in the household. And this used to go on for years. This was how they lived. And there was one summer she was in the Catskills and he was working in the Brooklyn. Obviously lived in Brooklyn. He was working, she was there, she was in the Catskills. And she asked him to bring up an orange checkbook. She called him twice during the week. Don't forget to bring up, we need a new checkbook. And she was bugging him, bring it up. Seder. Kim brings it up on Friday. Givaldik brings it up. And he sees on Shabbos that it's hanging from the baby's crib. Yeah. Obviously, it was important to her. She should have taken it out right away. Yeah. She asked him to bring it. She was bugging about him. She was bugging him about it the whole week. And she decided to hang on the baby's crib. Okay, he was a little upset about it. He didn't say anything. Fine, he didn't want to spoil the Shabbos. He went further, didn't say anything. Good, he goes home next week. He comes back the next week. He sees the orange bag is still hanging in the same place. For the whole week he's been hanging there, and the checkbook is still there. So he was ready getting upset. You were bugging me a week ago to bring it, and it's still sitting there. It's still sitting in the bag. No, he's still out back. He's angry. He was really upset. He said, "Well, I felt it was right." He didn't say anything. The next week, he got a call from Hatzalah. that his wife was taken to the hospital. She had complications. And unfortunately, she was nifted during childbirth. And when he went back, obviously it was a very terrible thing. He went back to the bungalow where she was staying, and the bag was still hanging there. And the first check he wrote out from that checkbook was to the Chevra Kadisha. And he decided afterwards, he took that orange bag, and he wrote on that bag, and he hung it in his closet, Zeh lo chashuv. Zeh lo chashuv. That was the memorial. How many times do we get upset about things that are not worth it? In the long view of things, it's not kedai. It's not worth it. There are issues which are problems, but there's so many petty things we get upset about. They're just not worth it in the long view of things. It's not worth it. Zeh lo chashuv. And again, it doesn't mean she was always right. But if you look in the long picture, it's really they're very, very small, and they only hurt. Never good doesn't come out of making a big deal about it. I think this is the Oymik in Chazal. We say Ein Shalom Yoytzi Mitat Mariva. It's a Rashi in Sefer Dvarim. Peace doesn't come out from a fight. That's Rashi's lashon. Ki Yiriv Ben Anoshim Minik Shalom Mishpat. Then they go to justice. And Rashi says Ein Shalom Yoytzi Mitat Mariva. You're thinking you're going to get upset about something. Nothing is good. Shalom's not going to come out of it. Talk about it when you're not fighting about it. Zeh lo chashuv. Let's try to, and I want to tie in what we started with. And Rabbi Wade mentioned this, is not my word, but he said this to me, and I think it's true. It's our job to be an Or LaGoyim. To be, a light unto the nations, yeah? It doesn't mean a loudspeaker. But it does mean we have to be an example. And if the goyim aren't acting as prophets, they have no self-control, it means somewhere by us we're also lacking self-control. We can't just say it's society's fault. It means we're not doing, to a certain extent, we're not doing our job. And as we said before, if 50% of marriages have marital discord, it's something we got to improve on. The version gives us the Yat Shemaya to work on this inyan. And to try to realize, to come to realize zeh lo chashuv. And in the long term view of things, the things that we get upset about just simply aren't worth it. To realize, think about it, observe it in your own life. Think about, is it worth getting upset something that in 3 months from now won't make a difference? You won't even remember it before. You won't even remember it. Baruch Hashem gives us all the siyat b'shmai to overcome this midah, and we should always be able to keep anushams inside ourselves.